Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine Marie and Julie. Hello, Mama.
Hello, Julie.
How you doing? I heard today, the other day, that there's another podcast that we're in competition with. Tom Arnold and his assistant, Sasha, have their own podcast.
What?
Why? Because it's quarantined. We're all still in COVID style. And everybody's like home alone. You're like, let's have a podcast.
Why can't we just have a podcast?
And you and I have talked about how having a podcast is the best thing you could do for a relationship.
Yes, it is. I'd like to know the number of podcasts that relationships have been destroyed over a podcast.
The only way it would be destroyed over a podcast is if somebody had very high expectations.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Of like, just going to like rock it, you know, because you think it's like very niche specific nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, and it's,
there are a lot of very, that's a good word, dude, niche specific.
Yes.
You have to have this certain niche. And if people say, Christine Marie and Julie, what's your brand? Who are you? And that's probably a problem.
Right.
We refuse to be defined.
Exactly. Because what this is a way for us,
It's
about us. It's about nurturing our relationship.
Yeah.
Because all week long, I filter my life on what are some interesting things I might want to talk about with Mama.
Well, and
unfortunately, then you go like, damn, your life's boring. No.
To indemnify that, though,
yeah.
I bought us two little microphones.
Yes, you did.
So that we could...
10 years later.
10 years later.
As an anniversary present.
We could, if something cool comes up into our minds, now we just say it into the microphone and it remembers it for us. Because a lot of times we get to right here, right now, and we go, what?
I know I had
there
to think about.
There was like so many good things I wanted
to make.
And they're just gone.
Exactly.
I don't know if that's age related or if that's just the way the world works right now. But I'm sort of sad right now.
Tell me why you're sad.
Well,
girlfriend?
Me and all of the villagers of Wakanda are sad.
Oh my gosh, I know. Yes.
You know why?
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, no.
No, you go.
The Black Panther passed away.
Yes, he did.
I can't remember his name offhand. You had it brought
like,
up.
Something like Ash Good Blossom. No, something like that.
Okay,
time out.
Yeah.
You look it up.
I'm looking it up.
And then we'll see who's close.
I know you're close because you said a very British
sounding
name.
Ash Good Blossom.
Yes.
So do you tell me, or should I ask Alexa?
No, don't ask Alexa. You know. Okay, Chadwick Boseman.
Oh. And I said Ashcraft
Blossom.
Okay.
Chadwick
Boseman.
Yes.
Boseman.
And
but only 43.
I it was shocking.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did a second. I wonder if he'd made a secondary Black Panther yet. And it's just waiting to come out. I'm curious.
I don't know.
But I was shocked and I was so sad because this guy, 43 years old, colon cancer.
Yeah.
You just go, how is this possible? Yeah. And you just felt so incredibly sad.
I did.
I did too.
Yeah.
I did too.
And I kind of wish that I would have seen his other movies, and now they're on my list because I think it was Thurg. He did the biopic.
Well, he is. He
Thurgood
I believe
Marshall.
I saw him on Saturday Night Live one time, and I believe he's British. Isn't he British?
I don't know.
I think he's British. Because I think I remember him with having a British accent.
Are you sure it couldn't have been Mid-Atlantic?
It could be Mid-Atlantic as well. I'm not sure. But and I just thought this is and it's like Lennox Lewis, you know, he's British. And there's something about once you have a British accent, you just come across smarter than everybody
Who's
else.
Who's Lennox Lewis?
He's that massive fighter.
Oh.
He, like, kicks everybody's butt. He's a boxer.
Oh,
Lennox
okay.
Lewis.
Okay.
But he's British.
Uh-huh.
And
sometimes I think.
I think he beat Tyson.
Oh.
But I think Tyson bit his ear off.
Is he the one?
I think he is.
Oh.
I'm not 100% sure, people. This is back in the day. But I just remember, you know, you hear Tyson talk. You know, you hear Lennox.
I bit his ear off.
Yeah. And you, like, hear Lennox Lewis. You're, like, going.
He bit my ear off.
Yeah. Hey, with a, no, with more of a British accent.
He bit my ear.
And not like
governor.
Not like British accent, like the Beatles' British accent, but a British accent like.
How about
Bond?
Like, oh, James Bond.
Yeah, yeah. You know, like, you're just going, okay, yeah. I know you're probably MI6.
What? I'm like, what? Is a room somewhere? I was gonna.
Tyson just didn't have the voice to match his persona. He just never did, and maybe that's the reason why he had the persona. Because he had to
overcome that.
Overcome the voice.
Yes.
You know, just had to overcome the voice. It's crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I was fat. I was very sad about that. And it's funny because Doug and I, when we saw Black Panther for the first time, we thought in a theater and we went with another couple because we're all Marvel fans. Mm-hmm. As adult people, we're Marvel fans, but that's fine. But anyway, it was such a horrible experience because there was a couple behind us that literally was talking through the whole movie. And it was so agitated. I actually thought that the person must have had a hearing loss because the person was literally narrating the whole movie.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know what to do. Doug and I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And except that at some point and near the end, Doug leaves, and then complains about how horrible the movie was. Mm-hmm. I got us two tickets, by the way, for if next another movie free, because there was no way I'm going to.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Right.
But it was kind of funny because the couple next to us didn't hear anything. And the reason why, it was because it was Doug, me, the other girl, and her left ear, which is closest to me, she's totally deaf in.
Oh, my gosh.
So she,
and, I love the people you hang around with.
I know. And so she didn't hear any of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so it was just kind of funny. And I was like, well, in some ways, that's how it should be. Like, hey, if you're hearing impaired or deaf and you plan on talking, stay in this corner.
Yeah.
And let the people who can hear and are going to be silent, let us over here and let us be. But then, so that turned us off of Wakanda initially.
Yeah.
And then when it came to TV, we were like, oh, let's give it a try. Let's just give it a try. And we're like, oh my God, I get it. I love it.
Yeah.
Especially as an ancient alien theorist, I find that movie fascinating. You know, I just do. The fact that, you know, in a 3D world, there's this, you know, basically third world country to the outside world.
Yeah.
But
inside.
Pull up the veil.
Yeah.
And it's got the highest technological advances in anything else on the whole planet. It's beautiful. All because of this one material. And it could be that.
Diamonds?
No.
Diamonds. I know.
It could be that material that, Plasma. Bob Lazar talked about.
Yeah.
Element 101.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yes.
So if you see it on that kind of like brain, like
it's like fascinating.
If you haven't seen Black Panther, I suggest watching 2 to 3 hours of Ancient Aliens or the Bob Lazar story. Mm-hmm. And then maybe drink some wine with what we like now. I S. Pellegrino and wine mixed together or
Diet 7 Up.
We either, you know, drink that, maybe have a little melatonin or a little, CBC, a CBD, and then just like enjoy it. Let your freak flag fly and you're going, wow, this is amazing.
Cool.
So,
you know,
Bozeman, we tip our wine, our sangria to you.
We have our S. Pellegrino and our sangria.
When you saw his movie credits, you're like, what?
Yes, yes.
And then I thought to myself, oh, I better kick it up a notch because he lived a huge life.
Yeah. I just kind of like you and Melania Trump are the same age.
That's freaky.
That's weird.
And you are younger than Donald Trump.
And that's what all we're going to say.
That's all we're going to say.
I was watching a little bit of his speech.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, really just a little bit.
Yeah.
And it was only because I was watching CNN and they had given him just a little bit of his speech. But he was like kind of leaning over in body language. And he was just talking like this. Like, I just, you know, if you're going to have, you know, just like all your Democratic mayors, you got your Portland, Washington mayor, you got your Chicago mayor, you got your Kenosha mayor, they're all Democrats, and they're all going to defund the police. And if you want just more of the same in your town, coming to you this fall, You know?
Oh, wow.
If you have Joe Biden as elected president, just remember, just see what Portland looks like.
Oh, you know? Wow. I'm sure Kenosha is like, when did we get connected?
Well, it was interesting because Kenosha voted for Trump. 47.2% in the last election. No, 47.4%, 47.2% for Hillary.
Okay.
So Kenosha was...
dead heat.
But
went towards Trump. Went towards Trump.
Dad saw the very first sign for Biden. Well, and it really wasn't a sign for Biden.
Right.
Because we've seen multitudinous signs for Trump.
I've driven my semi and have seen trailers, semi 53-foot trailers
dedicated
to Trump 2020.
Wow.
No. Yeah, Trump 2020.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, that was 4 years ago. No, Julie. That's now. We're in 2020. Yeah. Okay.
So, but we did see, and we did see one little tiny sign that said just Biden.
Yeah.
And then, but then we saw a bigger sign this weekend that said, STD.
Yes.
That's all it said. STD. Mm. And then under small print, stop the Donald.
Ah.
But the STD. So it's not necessarily something for Biden, but more against the Donald.
Right.
So, you know, but it's a cray-cray world out there.
And what I do know overall in channeling material that you've that it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah.
And that's some kind of, that's, I'm grateful for that. You know, it's kind of funny. I was hearing, you know, I mean, like I was thinking about Putin the other day.
Yay.
I was thinking of Putin.
Yay.
He only makes $100,000 a year, supposedly. He's got like 16 private jets.
That's so great.
I know. It is.
He probably just lives on mailbox money. Every single person in Russia's mailbox.
It's all my money, baby. It's all my money.
I like the fact that, you know, in this world of ours, Julie, and
yes,
this masked world and all this stuff, that you have time to think about Putin.
I was watching, oh God, I don't know how I have become a fan of these shows. And I do it only because I threw my back out.
Yes, you did. We haven't told our audience, but maybe we did last week, but you did really, really throw your back out.
I really threw my back out.
I mean, really, really, really.
And when talking to a friend of mine, she said, it's obvious that you threw your back out because your father has had some health issues, not issues at all, more like tweaking. He's had some maintenance done.
I guess that's what you want to call it.
That's what I call it. And so consequently, that's affecting my...
In the old days, it would have been called a funeral.
Yeah.
Now he's just tweaking.
And now it's tweaking. He has stress test about... Did we talk about this? I don't think we did. But he had a stress test...
About 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago.
And then boom.
And I said it was anomaly. Just a little anomaly. Mm-hmm. And we can't sign off on your DOT physical until we get this anomaly cleared up. And I'm like, okay, cool. Not feeling any pain, not feeling anything like that. Mm-mm. And then he goes in for a catheterization, which is when they put the ink in and they, test everything.
Go up your groin thing and into your heart.
Boom, boom, boom. They found a different anomaly.
And it was
And it was a 90% blockage.
Yes.
90% blockage.
Yeah.
And they cleaned that one up real good, real fast.
Yeah.
And then the next thing was next week, this coming Tuesday, he's got to go in again
for the initial anomaly, which is just something... Who knows?
But they couldn't do the same time because the dye is not good for you under a certain amount of time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's fine. Mm. And it is funny.
So your friend said you can tell your back went out because of your father's?
Because my father's heart issues, I'm having root chakra.
Oh, right.
Because I have my security.
Yes.
And I go, I can understand that because here I am just like going, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, because like at any given moment, the rug could be pulled out from underneath
me. We do feel vulnerable.
And I would have to shake things up in our life.
Yeah. And it did happen when you were you were dry. You had been driving for him, which is not a thing that you don't normally do.
Yeah, I do.
But the thing that was different is that you had to, what is it called?
I had a 53-foot trailer, and so I had to move the tandems. And so that means the tires in the back have to go first to all the way to the back so that when they drive their forklift onto the trailer, and then second of all, I had to move it back to support the weight of the product.
Yeah, but suffice it to say that this is a very physical act that requires the same physical act over and over and over again for about an hour. And then you threw your back out.
And I threw my back out.
Yeah. So, but there's an old expression, when it rains, it pours.
Yes.
So I think it's kind of around that area, so that's what's happening for us right now. It's really a definite. And I think with Norm, you mentioned that when you were in the show watching Black Panther, that the guy behind you, you thought he might have had a hearing issue, number one.
Right.
But that what it felt like was that he was just narrating the movie to another person.
Right.
Now, I want to talk to you about this.
So I guess the person could have been blind.
Yeah. Or whatever. Yeah. Or they could have been deaf.
Yeah, who knows?
But I want to say that because Norm's been home more.
Yes.
Because of this. And the little foibles that you experience, I'm sure he experiences some with me. But for me, is that what I notice is that Norm narrates everything that he thinks.
Yes.
And I can usually, in small doses, I'm okay with it. But, and usually as it relates to the computer.
Yeah.
And so here's kind of how it goes. It'll be like, okay, now I must turn this computer on. Now, let's see. It looks like, if I can remember correctly,
Norman is literally saying these words out loud.
Yeah. It's usually at the upper left-hand side.
Yeah.
Up there somewhere. I think I might try to turn this on. And, look, that's how it goes. Now, wait a minute now. What's our password? What is that? What is it, a number? Is it capitals? I think there's a number and an exclamation point. I'm not really sure. But, this is exciting or whatever. And I'm like, oh, my God. There's this little... this thing in my stomach that just starts curdling.
Right. Because you're thinking to yourself, oh, my God.
Yeah. I go, oh, my fucking God.
Yeah. Oh, my fucking God.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so I try to train him. I say, Dad, just to let you know, you narrating your whole thinking thought process is driving Mom crazy because she thinks that you're a moron.
I think he's a moron.
Right.
Because if that really is his narration, that is like, it's scary.
But I also think it's very sweet.
I mean,
you know, saying he's like so sweet to himself.
He is sweet to himself.
You know, it's like, oh, this is so exciting. I'm turning on the computer.
Woo-hoo! I get to turn on the computer. And is this the button?
Oh, this is the button.
I happened to mention the other day, I just happened to mention that I was making an analogy about life. And I said, and I go, in general, it's like like your computer, how it has an escape key, the ESC button, that you can always escape. And like maybe about an hour or two later, he comes up to me and he goes, is it so true, Chris, that there really is an escape button on the computer? Is it true?
Is it true?
This could change my whole reality about technology because I end up being so fucked up all the time.
Yeah. And if I could just escape this page, this madness.
If I could just escape and then maybe 10 minutes later, start all over again.
Right.
It could be revelational.
It could be. Yeah. It could be revelational.
That's exactly what he's trying to tell me.
Oh my gosh. And so you said, kinda, there's kind of an escape
button. I just said, go talk to Julie.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Oh, wonderful. Thank you very much. Well, it was interesting because we've also been experiencing this loss of a Freightliner.
Yes. Yes.
So you and Dad about 2 weeks ago came across this Freightliner. It's one of those Mercedes Sprinter vans.
Mm-hmm. Mercedes makes Freightliner, yeah.
Yes. And everybody wants one of these vans now.
I know. It was so... awesome.
It was an awesome van. Yeah. They had tweaked it.
Yeah, Norm had seen it about maybe on his way home from work one day.
Yeah.
And he stopped and he thought it was awesome looking. And
yes.
And just some guy
had it in Mendota,
which is a small town. And you really don't find these things. And he goes, Chrissy, you got to go see it. So we went, it was more than a couple of Sundays ago, about three or four Sundays ago. And I remember pulling up to it and just like going, this is the hugest van. It was a monstrosity.
Right.
But it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
In the sense that if you're looking for this type of a vehicle.
It was perfect.
It's like gorgeous.
Right.
And you have to be a gypsy.
Yes.
To love these things.
Yes.
And I loved it.
Yes, you did.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I came home and I said, Julie, get in your car. If you have to take Doug, take him. But go see this van.
Yeah.
And you didn't love it.
Well,
you said it's the best thing
and the worst thing.
And that's all daddy needs is for you to.
Oh, Jesus. I know. Go for it.
Well, there was reality. There was truth in what you said.
Yeah.
Because it was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Because it's the hugest vehicle that they probably make.
Right.
And.
You can stand up in it.
Yeah.
You know.
But the thing is. These vehicles that you see are traditionally they're like work vehicles.
Right.
People deliver stuff in them and stuff like that. But now the millennials have discovered and they call it van life.
Yes.
And the millennials have discovered it like your cousin or second cousin.
Right.
Heath.
Yeah.
He bought one and now he travels the country and we get Instagrams of him being like superior.
He's like superior. I'm like, awesome.
And he travels with his doggy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the most awesome life possible.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
But that's what these guys do. So, now we're in competition with these guys.
For these vans. Motherfuckers.
Yeah. And so when we decided that we would go get this.
Right.
It was gone. Yeah.
And so we've been mourning that because I wasn't sure about this van. Because it looked like it wasn't perfect.
In the sense of?
Well, because you'd have to really.
Because it was divided, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. But that thing that divides it comes out very simply.
Right.
It's a very simple
process. Know, and it, but I do, it's just, because like the Ford vans have that damn doghouse in the middle of the.
Right.
And it cuts your legs.
And the Mercedes don't.
They do not have that.
Right.
So it's very interesting because. It's been brought to my attention several times that how grave a deal that was.
Yes, it was.
And it was not just great.
It was one of those that go beyond great.
I know. It was a once in a lifetime kind of deal.
Yes, yeah.
But I feel bad because I don't want you guys to think. I know.
We think it was you that stopped us.
I know you guys do. And it really makes me sad and like I want to throw up. Like I got bile in my mouth right now.
Oh, no.
Yeah, like really.
The bile in your throat?
Exactly.
Oh. You threw up a little bit?
I did. Because I don't want that to be. I really believe in my heart.
I hold like you no, Sam in Harris, no harm.
Sure you don't. Sam Harris, you want to be like in a place where you can make yourself a little happier.
Yes.
And be positioned to make other people happier.
Yes.
And relieve suffering and be positioned.
If you can't make someone happy, at least relieve their suffering.
Right.
Yes.
But I feel like
that's a good way to live.
I feel like I've decreased your happiness and caused suffering.
Exactly.
So I've been on the lookout now for a better vehicle.
And you're not going to find it, girlfriend.
I found one that was close. Addison?
Close geographically. Okay.
Year younger. Like a newer van.
Yes.
A year newer.
Yes.
And?
$5,000 more.
But... 20,000 miles less.
That's true.
20,000 miles less.
Yeah.
Because Normano has this narration going on that he's speaking. Because one thing that you're worried about is like, Norm, I know you have us traveling across the country in this van.
That's right. But he's got that problem solved now.
Yes. Because your biggest problem is what if we break down?
Right.
And you're like, we're going to pull a smart car. Behind this van.
A Mercedes smart car. So we'll be at two Mercedes vehicle traveling down the highway.
You guys couldn't look more,
scary?
too hippie.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness, they're coming out with a new van for VW. You might as well just wait for that damn van because that's where your guys are, your head's at.
Oh, baby.
But no, but I'm just thinking, I think if with this vehicle, mm-hmm. a year newer, you know, lot less miles, mm-hmm. you could trust that it wouldn't break down anywhere.
So we wouldn't have to have the smart, pull the smart
car. I don't have
to
see my family, my parents, driving in this big, huge van, pulling a littlest car ever. I mean, because you know.
And then once inside the smart car is a little motor Vespa.
Yeah, it's a Vespa, just in case. Yes. I mean, how many fail-safes do we need?
As many as possible, Julie.
Especially since you guys won't be traveling anywhere out of the States. I could probably just go.
Nobody's going to allow us in another state.
Exactly right. You're going, Julie, we broke down 100 miles from here. I'll be there in 90 minutes. Okay, I'll come pick you up in 90 minutes. Put your blinkers on. You're going to be good to go. So I don't know what to say.
I know.
But I like this one in Addison. I really do.
We'll go look at it then.
And people who are listening who are on the lookout for these vans as
Don't you dare. Don't, people.
We're energy bombing that.
Yes.
The only thing I would have liked better if some of them have the windows in the back, like just a smaller window. Yeah. This one does not.
Yeah.
But that's okay too because you don't mind that.
I don't mind it.
No. Yeah. You like total.
Yeah. But wasn't it beautiful? Like when you got up to it, you went, oh my God, this is huge.
No, okay. I did not think beautiful. I said, this is huge.
Yeah.
Is my mom going to enjoy this? I just wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
The older you get, you still have the hippie mentality.
Yeah.
With,
I think I'm more gypsy.
With a Hamptons sensibility.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I always feel I'm more gypsy than hippie.
Okay. Yeah. Because the truth is today alone, you said, Julie, when I build my next house, I'm going to need a bigger walk-in closet and a bigger master bath.
Yes.
These walk-in closets that you have now and master bath are pretty nice for Northern Illinois.
But I also said, even if you make me go smaller in square footage,
yes.
I'm definitely going to have a bigger closet. And
if we go smaller in square footage, your bedroom and bath and closet will be like the biggest room in the whole house.
Yes, that's exactly right.
And that's okay. That's how people like you live. Come, I take my guests in my bedroom. I've got some seating.
Yes, I do.
You do. I got a seating arrangement. I got a super duper flat screen TV. Alexa, we got a little fridge. We're good to go.
No. Leave me alone, people.
Not the fridge, exactly. Mm. So anyway, we're kind of talking about you having, you know, gypsy mentality.
Yes.
Hampton sensibility.
True.
Okay. And I was listening to Adam Carolla this week, and he was interviewing this guy called Rob Henderson.
Is that what they call him?
They called him Rob
What's
Henderson.
What's his name, though?
Rob Henderson. Anyway, Rob Henderson, I guess, is going to Cambridge right now for his master's degree or whatever. He's in England going to school. And I think he's going to school, but he wrote an article that Adam just totally dug. Mm-hmm. Adam Carolla, because he feels he had a really bad upbringing, he likes people who've had rough upbringings as well. Mm-hmm. It makes him feel like they have a little grit, you know, a little bit of like mm-hmm. oomph in the game or whatever. Mm-hmm. And this guy, Rob, he never met his dad. His biological mom was South Korean, and they think his dad was white. That's all they know. But he went to foster parents. His mom was into drugs. So he went to foster parents, foster care, and had lots of broken families.
What's his last name again?
Henderson.
Okay.
He went to Yale at undergrad. Went to the military. Mm-hmm. Went to Yale. And he said what he's noticing in his time in Yale is that because people can have stuff now, like you can't just see somebody on the street and decide who has money, who doesn't, mm-hmm. because everybody has cars, everybody mm-hmm. has smartphones, you know, everybody has, you can buy the coolest clothes on consignment now, right? Mm-hmm. And so no, everybody looks the same, but what's going on is they call it the luxury of belief. So like,
and this is what this Robert
wrote at Piper, and what it was basically like this is that you have people behaving like they grew up in the 50s, mm-hmm. but their beliefs are like they grew up in the 60s. meaning they would act, in their personal lives, act conservatively, mm-hmm. but believe liberally. However, those liberal beliefs are getting passed down. Now, I'm not saying liberal and conservative correctly, and I'll explain more. Mm-hmm. He said when he was in Yale, his professor did a study, mm-hmm. a very anecdotal study. He said, everybody close your eyes. And he goes, raise your hand if you had, if you didn't grow up in a two-parent household where your birth parents were, for mm-hmm. more than 15 years mm-hmm. of your life. And only two people raised their hand where they didn't grow up in a two-parent family home. Mm-hmm. So that meant 80-90% of the people in this class or mm-hmm. Grew up with both their parents mm-hmm. in Yale.
Got it.
Okay. Now, that really does break the norm, right?
Right.
Because statistically now,
if you just even go into a regular 50, classroom.
50, yeah.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is that still the affluent are staying together, having kids together. We think we're being told people are getting divorced more, mm-hmm. but the more money you make, mm-hmm. the less you get divorced.
Yes.
The less you separate. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you can keep the wealth in.
Right.
And so, but it trickles down to where middle class, we're getting divorced more. We're struggling more. And because we feel like the belief is that every family is the same. There's no difference in value between two parent households or single parents, mm-hmm. all the same. But the truth is, it's not all the same. Mm-hmm. When you have a two parent household, however mm-hmm. that looks, it is an easier life mm-hmm. to accumulate wealth, mm-hmm. to have education, to move forward in what you want.
Well, and I'm not.
And I hope I'm explaining this correctly.
You kind of are.
And am I kind of not?
But when you say to accumulate wealth, that it's like
that's a hard
thing to say.
Yes.
But it is better, it is easier to do that. It's like
right
now, and also what I want to say in addition to what you're saying is that these people that are staying together and keeping the wealth within and all that, they also. To say that they don't get divorced does not mean that they don't have affairs.
No, exactly.
That they don't have second families.
Jerry Falwell Jr.
I can tell you a number of people.
Exactly.
That they stay together. They keep the family intact.
Right.
They grow the wealth. The education is more prominent and all those things. But it's not all rosy.
Hell no. You're right. That's a good point.
And in addition, I also want to say this. We met a person this week.
We did?
I'll tell you.
You did?
Both you and I did.
Oh, okay.
You'll know when I tell you.
Okay.
But the first thing she said was, when we had this phone call, she goes, I have a dog that barks.
Yes.
But he's a rescue dog.
Right. And I always say, oh, I'm a rescue parent too, because I'm rescuing my dog from the next people. Because if I could, I would give him up because he's driving me crazy. And then I go, but that doesn't go over as well.
No, it doesn't. Be like fool.
Yeah.
You paid for that?
Yeah.
You paid money for that? And then every day when we say our morning prayers, we say, please, dear Lord, please help me try to extract X amount of dollars of love from Elliot today.
Right.
Just in order to pay us back.
Yeah. Because little man, your cost is about $200-$300 a month.
Yes. It's like he's got allergies. He can't eat
dog food.
He has to have certain pills. In addition to that, he cost us money to begin with.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And this
whatever.
Kid, whatever. And he's very, 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 very well taken care of.
Yeah.
But, and also a barker, a chaser.
Yeah.
I did hear. Yes.
A doggy at the dog park.
Yes.
That was a barker.
Yeah.
That they had his vocal cords. I'm cut because they had to.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you talk to them about that?
Yeah. But here was the issue.
Okay.
Okay. He didn't bark anymore, but he goes like this.
Oh, God. That's just worse.
This is horrible.
Yeah, because then you feel bad because you're like, he must feel frustrated.
Yeah.
Because there are times when Elliot will know that he's at our limit.
Yeah.
And he'll come in and he'll just cry.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what's going on outside, yeah. Julie? There are deer in our yard. Yeah. Please come and just let me show you what's going on in the world.
Or like he'll come, like yesterday we were out in the back and he was in the red zone major. And he just like, he just went up into the back of the van and crawled into his crate.
Yeah, he knew.
He just like,
he's like, I can't be outside anymore. Let me just go. I'll jump back into my crate in the back of the van and chill out. Yeah.
I don't want to see what's out there.
Turn the air conditioning on for me.
It's too bad.
I just need a chill. I need a chill pill. That's what I need.
Well, it reminded me too. I saw on, the Believers thing about this little chicken that got its head cut off and he lived.
Yes.
You know, and I don't know why, but it just was touching to me that he, it's kind of like, you know, having your dog's vocal cords cut, you know, I mean, it's still annoying.
Right.
And it was kind of annoying to look at this chicken just walking around with no head.
So go through that again. Just get you through this out there with no context whatsoever. So I watched the Believers, my first thought was Believers Voice of Victor. Believer's Voice of Victory on the Christian station? I go, oh, the Believers of Paranormal.
Yes.
I caught on video or whatever.
Yes.
So there was this one chicken, this guy.
He was going to have dinner.
He would have to cut a head of a chicken off
just
to support his large family living on the farm. And he cut this one head's chicken off, one chicken heads off of a chicken, didn't die.
No.
And the reason why it didn't die is because it immediately clotted at the artery where
the
brain, and it had enough brainstem left to take care of its
needs. It couldn't see anything.
No. But it was, they said it looked happy enough.
Yeah.
It would try, and I'm like,
and anyway, for a couple of years, this guy went on the circuit.
Yes.
And like made huge amounts of money.
Like $6,000 a month.
This was in 1930.
Yes. Until people were like coming from all over the world.
Yeah,
like,
the only problem was they had to feed him with an eyedropper.
And sometimes it would choke.
Because he would choke sometimes. But they would, they had like some kind of an eyedropper that sucked it out.
Pushed it in,
yeah. And he started choking in a hotel room.
Yeah.
And they couldn't find
the eyedropper. And I thought, morons, if this is your
bread and butter
or your cash cow
or your cash chicken,
exactly, you're going to have
extra eyedroppers.
I think I'd have him pinned to my car. I'd have him pinned to where.
Absolutely.
I might actually have pinned to the chicken just in case.
Just in case.
Yes.
Well, hell, if you, that's Julie.
I know.
Kudos.
Thank you.
I would have liked.
If you're a lifeline to your, I don't know, six-figure lifestyle or seven figures.
In 1930?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is an eyedropper? Yeah. You're going to make damn sure that that eyedropper is close by.
Yeah.
My feeling is there was a murder involved. There must have been.
Until it's like, in the case of the 1930s chicken with its head cut off, it was murder.
It was delayed, of course. The guy did it. The guy was totally guilty.
He had a long-term plan.
Yeah. It was totally. And then mom said, wouldn't it be weird, though, if his next, like, 100 years or however the guy lived, he was just kept trying to cut the guy to cut the chicken's head off just perfectly. And you're like, chicken gets, I mean, it's totally horrible. It's horrible.
It's just horrible.
Yeah. So that was interesting.
Yeah. Well, we had another shock this week in that we found out that one of our favorite housewives was let go.
Oh, my gosh.
Housewives of, well, they call it Roni.
Oh, yes, right. I didn't know that initially.
Real Housewives of New York.
Real Housewives of New York, Roni.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dorinda.
Dorinda Melville or something like that.
Dorinda Medley.
Medley, that's it. Dorinda Medley.
Our Herman Melville.
She's the whale that we all try and capture. So Dorinda. And supposedly the reason why I mean, on the side note, it's because she's a really mean drunk.
You just said it right. It was not a side note.
Oh, yeah.
That's the reason.
That's the reason. Yeah. That we heard she's a real mean drunk.
And this is the course this comes out now, you know, tomorrow, or I guess Wednesday last day before the whatever. And it for people, I don't watch any TV except for The Housewives.
I know you don't.
And paranormal.
You wouldn't know what ABC, CBS,
I have
or
no
NBC
idea.
Or Fox has on.
I would not know.
No.
I only watch that because that's exactly right. But I do know The Housewives.
Yes, you do.
And you know, and because of, as a psychotherapist,
yes,
I am all about the crazies.
Yes.
I like to study it.
Is it a part of you that likes to study the psyche? Because yes, there's a little bit of Freudian, that German word. Yes, I feel better when I see other people being miserable.
What was the love of driving? Farfenugen.
Yeah, Farfenugen. What's the love of I'm okay.
Yeah.
I feel better with other people.
Pfeffernuger. No.
I don't know. One of those German words.
Yeah. It's a German word that says you feel just a little bit good at somebody else's. Is that what you're accusing me of?
Yes, just a little bit.
Possibly.
But I also know, because you're a psychotherapist, that
yes,
you are into the psyche of the mind. Like, how are people behaving like this?
Yes.
And why would they allow themselves to be filmed
right
like this?
Right.
And
and then
damn, Luann looks so great in a bikini.
Yeah. How does she do that? Looks so great.
I know.
And well, she had a bad year last year and the year before.
Yes.
I mean, she, you know, hit a cop. She had to go away for a year or two.
Yeah.
And get sober and yes, do her program. But in the meantime, Dorinda has become what most people would just call an ugly, mean drunk.
Yes.
But, and out of a 24-hour period, she's more ugly and mean than not.
Right.
At least how we're seeing.
Well, and exactly.
And she is mean.
She is mean.
Oh, she's mean.
I would think...
When you hear somebody say, oh, she'll cut a bitch.
She will cut a bitch.
That should be her picture in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Next to she'll cut a bitch.
I am jealous of her because this year I have seen her in bed do very cool things with her knees. Like she's bent them all the way behind her back and in cross-legged. And I'm like, you effing bitch. Because my knees hurt sometimes a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just would love to be her. What would that feel like to not be in pain with regards to your knees or your back, you know?
Yeah, but Jules, that's probably true. But she probably is in some kind of psychological pain.
That's true.
To drink as much as she does.
Well, yeah, because if I have to hear her talk about her dead husband so much, I understand he was a very wealthy.
But that is the reason that she's
in pain.
I mean, no, I mean that's the reason that she's using to stoke that story.
And not to say anything about people losing their husbands.
No,
so I think it's
tragedy. No. But it was 20 years ago or something. No,
7.
Oh, really?
Right. 7 or 8 years ago. But she also been dating somebody else for 6. Oh, maybe happy longer than that. She was dating John for 6 years.
Yeah.
So let's say 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So.
Not to say that doesn't.
It doesn't still.
We're not saying any of that
no,
stuff.
No, but she's a mean drunk.
Let's go back to that
part. Where Ramona, another housewife from New York.
Yeah.
One of the original housewives. She's just mean.
And crazy.
And also not attractive.
No.
In the sense of I find her personality so unattractive.
Yeah.
And she, that I like, I, why?
You know, she got divorced a couple of years ago. And everybody's cutting her a lot of slack because she got divorced. But here's the thing. These men, if they're even remotely smart, not only do you want to run away from that.
Right.
You want to run away from that as far as you can go.
Right.
If, you know, wherever the equator is or whatever that.
Yeah.
Whatever,
Quito, Ecuador.
Quito, Ecuador. Get as far away from that as you can.
Exactly.
That's what I would do.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was telling you that I had heard.
By the way, Julie, can we move to Quito, Ecuador?
Quito, Ecuador? Yes, we can. It is the closest city on the, what do you call it? capital city on the equator, but because it's up in the mountains, it's got perfect temperature all year round.
It's got perfect temperature 62 degrees. All year round, and for, at least for us.
Yes.
And it also has 12 hours of daylight.
Usually on the equator, 12 hours a day, 12 hours a night, continuously.
Yes.
Doesn't vary hardly at all.
That's what I want.
I'm up for that. I would like to take that
trip. If you could figure out a way to get my
van there?
My Freightliner van there.
We could do it. We could do it.
I'll go there.
We have to go through Colombia, which is a little scary. Yeah.
They haven't seen us.
Yeah, exactly. Go.
Just go.
You know. But anyway, I had talked to you about I think it's called Psych to Go on YouTube. And once in a while they'll have just some interesting things. And I said, Mom, they came up with a list of 8 people you should avoid.
And I said,
wow, this is a description of every housewife.
Every housewife on the Real Housewives of New York.
Yes. One was
the number one person to avoid.
Someone who makes you feel invalid. Like, they invalid you. Am I saying it right?
Invalidate you.
Yeah. They invalidate you.
As opposed to validating you.
Yes. Yeah. They invalidate you. Everything you do is wrong.
Right.
And so
when you're with them, you feel like you can't do anything right.
Sometimes you and I go through that a little bit.
That's a hook for us.
Yes.
Because for me and you, if we get into that cycle, what we do because we know each other so well.
Yeah.
Is that we just read each other.
Right.
We're not, in fact, not only have I noticed that you read me, but you read me if I'm in the back seat and you're driving in the front seat, you're looking in the rearview mirror reading me.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh boy, I have to be careful of my facial expressions right now.
Well, yesterday I had said something to you. I said, Doug's going to come over, we're going to hop in the van and we're going to take the car and get it washed. And you said, you made a face.
Yes. Yes, I
and
did.
And I go,
oh, I didn't say anything.
No, you made a face.
I just made a face. And it wasn't even a big face.
I don't know about that. It was a face enough for me to recognize.
For you it was a face.
Okay, and then
you said.
I said, okay, that's okay. We will take his car.
And then, because I hadn't even said a word at this point.
And you said, well, why did you change your mind?
Yeah.
I didn't say a word. I go, and I'm like, well, I changed my mind because you made a face.
And then I said,
well, and I go, and I didn't think you were being truthful with your answer, which was okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right.
And then I said, well, I don't think you're being truthful with your question.
That's exactly right.
How was I not being truthful with my question? And you said, I think Doug probably said, hey, can we take the van? And instead of telling me that, you made this ruse about washing the van. And I said, no, he did not. And I wouldn't lie. I would tell you the truth if he wanted the van or not.
And then I said,
all right then.
Right.
I just didn't want it to have to be a ruse.
Yeah, I just wanted you to tell me the truth. I didn't want you to have to, because 9 times out of 10.
Right.
The reality is 9 times out of 10, he would say to you,
let's
take your car.
Yeah, take my car. Right.
I don't want to spend the gas to take my car.
Right.
Taking you for a ride.
Right.
And by the way, can I borrow money?
Yeah. Exactly. So that was the first one. Invalidate you. Number two, one-uppers.
What?
I think truly at the last Housewives of New York, they were all out at a dinner party for Dorinda's birthday.
Yeah.
And during it, they all behaved some one of these aspects.
Yes.
Okay, Luann takes a microphone. Why is there a microphone, by the way?
Because Luann's there. She always makes sure that we have a mic and a small little speaker.
Yeah, why do we need a speaker? Small dinner.
By the way, everyone, I do cabaret.
I do cabaret. I'm like, what's going on in the world? Are they, number three.
Before you go there. The Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay? Yes.
This is a perfect example. Erika Jayne has been on Broadway, is going to be on Broadway in Chicago playing Roxy. And this was like her dream. It's amazing for her. Everybody wants to be. But Lisa Rinna cannot let her she's always like, hey, Erika Jayne, we have something in common. I was on Broadway.
I played Roxy on Broadway.
You know, but 10 years ago or 15, you know, a long time ago.
Yeah.
You know, and so I know exactly, but look at me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, you're going to do it now, but I wasn't. That's one upping.
Yes.
Don't you dare think that this is your time to shine because I am doing this.
Yes.
I did that. So that's to me is like perfect example. The housewives of those people you don't want to be around.
Exactly.
Now, what's the third one?
Self-centered. People who are so self-absorbed or self-centered that you don't have the right to need a little bit of comfort.
You can't be needy.
You can't be needy. And that does not really work in a relationship for very long.
No. So, hence, but that's why everybody is
drinking all the time.
Drinking or divorced. Like with Lisa Rinna, I think that the Harry Hamlin relationship stays in place and intact is because he's always gone.
He's
either in Canada. Yep. I'm camping for 4 weeks in Canada.
Yeah.
Studying for some God-forseen role.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, I'm doing an off Broadway play with Stephanie Powers.
Yeah.
Okay, Harry. I mean, but literally anything to get away from.
Can I tell them though? Yeah. Were you not shocked to find out that Harry Hamlin dated or was in a relationship with
Ursula Andress. Yes.
And they had a kid together.
Yeah, that was wild.
Years ago.
Yeah.
Years ago.
He was 20 and she was like 45.
Yeah.
I remember it.
Do you really?
Yeah.
You remember them having a kid together?
Yeah.
I did not remember that at all.
I just forgot it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was just like, I'm sure she's like, I could have a baby with this guy.
He would look good.
He would look good.
He would look a good baby.
I really could. And I don't know how many kids she has. Maybe she only has one. I have no idea.
I don't know.
But she just I'm like, that's just.
But she's like one of those European actresses that, oh, darling, you know, and they just let it all go.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I'm like 80 now, but that's fine. I'm like, you know.
Exactly.
But I have my darling son and he's beautiful.
I get, you know, with Harry Hamlin. Yeah. They all of Harry Hamlin's girls call him Harry Hamlin.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
Harry Hamlin. Okay. Judgmental. Judgmental is number four. And they supposedly, if you're judgy, you're very much you yourself are insecure.
Yeah.
Well, and what we know that to be true through Dan Savage, that if you protest too much, Jerry Falwell Jr., you might be winging a big, huge freak flag.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. No one cares about people having freak flags. They care about inconsistency.
When you lie about your freak flag.
Yes. Yeah. Or you're judging everybody else and you're like, you know what? You shouldn't be doing that.
Wasn't there a song like that? Don't judge me because I'm going to be or something.
It's a good song to make up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Maybe I should.
Oh, can I say something really quick? I saw an episode 6 of season 6, episode 5 or 4, I don't know, on Community. And basically what I just thought, this was so hysterical, I got to share with everybody. I know we got to end the show pretty soon.
What?
I got 2 minutes left.
We got to get to Aiden.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the dean, the board comes to him and they said, we need you on our board because you're openly gay, right? And he's like, I wouldn't say I'm openly gay.
Yeah.
That gay does not even come close to what I am.
Yeah.
That is not
even. We need somebody openly gay on our board.
And they're like,
don't go looking at me. I don't define myself that way.
But to get into his career.
Yeah.
He decides to be openly gay.
Yeah.
For them.
To get some money from the board.
Yes. And so, but I just love the fact that they use this song from Nadine and they go, gay Dean, gay Dean, gay Dean, gay Dean, please join our school board. And I just thought that was so funny.
Didn't you like his lover too?
Oh, I did.
The lover.
Yes.
That they gave him.
They gave him a lover.
Yeah.
And he's like, back off.
Yeah,
like, no, I'm not openly gay.
Yeah. Even though we're
pretending to be gay.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought it was great because I can't be defined by just being gay.
Yeah, that's just,
that's not
that's too small.
It's too small.
It's too small a term. We know that.
We know we get that.
Yeah.
And then everybody was like, but you're not openly gay. I am not. I would not consider myself openly anything or whatever.
Right.
It was great. Okay. Number 5. We'll get these faster. So judgmental was 4. 5. Self-destructive. I understand that. Mm-hmm. Housewives, they're all drinking like crazy.
Now they are.
Also, the fact that they've got some people who are recovered alcoholics on that show.
That are drinking.
That are drinking. Yeah.
So you can't call yourself an alcoholic if you're drinking.
Oh, they're right. Only people who are abstaining from alcohol
can call themselves alcoholics. Just
life,
a little twist,
life
guys.
Is
freak,
crazy.
Freak the word.
Life is crazy.
Yes.
They're fake. They're like one way to the outside world, but to you, they're something completely different.
Yeah.
And so we call it two-faced.
Yeah.
My day.
Yeah.
Manipulators. I mean,
oops.
Am I wrong? Are these not all housewife people?
These are all housewives.
They're all the housewives.
I've met a few manipulators in my life. It started like this. Chris, what are you and Norm doing this weekend? Oh my God, they might be inviting me to a party.
Yeah.
Hey, well, nothing. We're moving.
Yeah.
Could we borrow your van?
I have big plans. Can you watch my kid?
Or can we borrow your van?
Yeah.
And your husband's back. That's when you're like, that's like, come into my spider web.
Yes, yes. I used to think that asking somebody first if their weekend was available was better, when I was growing up. And then I realized, no, you need to give people an out.
Yeah. Make it truthful.
Make it truthful.
And, or say, what are you doing this weekend? And the reason I'm asking.
Yeah, the reason I'm asking. You can tell me no.
Yeah.
But I'm doing this and could you help me?
Yeah.
And they can say yes or no.
My friend Marcia says that if people ask her whatever, she says she pauses for a moment and goes, I don't get a hit on that.
Yeah.
I don't get a strong hit on that.
I love that.
Yeah.
My higher self says,
I just checked with God and he said no.
No. God said no.
God said no.
I love that.
What are you going to do? Argue with God?
Yeah, I agree. So in so many ways, they have put together people to avoid the housewives.
Was that number 8?
That was number 8.
Oh, wow.
People who like drama.
Oh,
is number 8.
Yeah.
So basically, these people who came up with this list just watched a couple episodes of The Housewives.
That's why I like The Housewives.
That's why you like The Housewives.
Because I never call it a drama. I call it a shit show.
Yeah.
It's time for my 1 hour
shit show.
How
bad was Dorinda to the staff and the people
for
her to get kicked off?
Yeah.
How bad did she have to be? Yeah. I liked her, though, overall.
Well, Brandy, when Brandy got kicked off, because she slapped Lisa in the face and then said, do you want me to EYP?
Oh, got it. That's right.
Remember that?
Yeah. But she didn't slap her hard.
And then she said that.
Yeah.
And then LVP goes,
eat your petunia.
I'll pass.
I'll pass on that, sweetheart.
Yeah. And by the way, you're fired.
And you're fired because I've got more rights than you do in this
exactly.
show.
Exactly.
And there it is.
And there you go.
So, girlfriend, how's the show today?
It was a little bit of everything, Julie. And you know what? Overall, it was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.